From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Taliban rocket strikes and bombings kept some Afghans away from the polls in today's closely watched parliamentary elections, the first since last year's presidential election that was marred by fraud. But Andy Campbell, an election observer with the National Democratic Institute, says despite the violence, at least people are voting.
I'm happy when I see Afghans coming out to participate. That's the reality. Yes, it's active insurgency in parts of the country, but people are seeking to take a choice to be active in the process, and that's the important part from my side.
At least 9 people have been killed in violence today, but NPR's Quill Lawrence in Kabul says the violence was relatively low.
Scattered incidents across the country targeted security forces and polling stations, but overall levels of violence were low, despite threats by the Taliban insurgents to disrupt the vote. 1 year ago, the Afghan presidential election was subject to widespread fraud, and observers said that could be one reason for what appears to be low voter turnout today. In advance of the election, authorities considered that many areas of the country were simply too dangerous to open polling stations, but government officials said they aimed to have the best election they could in order to keep the democratic process alive in Afghanistan. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
President Obama is taking Senate Republicans to task today over campaign spending limits. Mr. Obama is accusing the GOP of blocking a bill to limit the amount of money companies and unions can spend on campaign advertising. He calls it politics at its worst.
It's a power grab, pure and simple. They're hoping they can ride this wave of unchecked influence all the way to victory.
Mr. Obama was speaking in his weekly address. The bill stems from a Supreme Court decision issued earlier this year that freed up such money. In their weekly address, Congressman Greg Walden of Oregon renewed the Republicans' call for an up or down vote on all of the tax cuts that are set to expire in January. He's also calling for spending cuts to 2008 levels, saying the government needs to make some tough choices, as the rest of the country has during the recession. Meteorologists say the storm that hit New York City on Thursday spawned 2 tornadoes and what's known as a macro burst. Brian Zumhagen of member station WNYC explains.
The National Weather Service says the storm that toppled trees and peeled away rooftops brought New York City's 9th and 10th tornadoes since 1950. One twister struck Brooklyn with winds of up to 80 miles per hour. The second one hit Queens with 100 mile an hour winds. It was that second tornado that snapped trees, downed power lines, and crushed cars, including one in which a woman was killed. But it was the macro burst that packed the biggest punch, with wind speeds of up to 125 miles per hour, stretching 8 miles long and 5 miles wide. Officials initially reported that it was a microburst, but later said it was a macroburst because it was more than 2.5 miles long. The utility Con Edison expects to have all power outages restored by the end of the weekend. For NPR News, I'm Brian Zumhagen in New York.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. Hurricane Igor has winds of up to 110 miles per hour right now, making it a Category 2 storm. Forecasters say it could get stronger before hitting Bermuda by tomorrow night. A hurricane warning is up for the island. Authorities in central Mexico are on alert today for possible mudslides and flooding as the remnants of Hurricane Carl break up. The National Hurricane Center in Miami expects Carl to dump another 3 inches of rain in some areas. The NFL's second weekend is about to get underway, and as Scott Graf of member station WFAE in Charlotte reports, some traditionally strong markets are struggling to avoid television blackouts.
For the first time in 6 years, Charger fans in San Diego won't be able to watch a home game on TV. The Carolina Panthers just announced that fans in Charlotte would avoid a similar fate. In Detroit, the NFL extended a deadline so the Lions could sell more tickets for their Sunday game. The NFL implemented a rule in the 1970s to protect ticket sales. If a team can't sell enough, then fans don't get to watch the game on TV. Several teams, like the Oakland Raiders, often deal with blackouts, but more and more, teams that usually have little trouble selling tickets are struggling. The recession and high ticket prices are considered major factors. That's led many to wonder if the NFL would change the blackout rule. So far, Commissioner Roger Goodell has said he won't do that. For NPR News, I'm Scott Graf in Charlotte.
The annual Oktoberfest is kicking off today in southern Germany. This year is the first that smoking is banned in the beer tents. That's because the state of Bavaria passed strict anti-smoking legislation earlier this year. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.